Steve King and Johnny Putman, in for Dave Plyer at WGN Radio. All I've got is that photograph, but we've also got the guy who takes those photographs.
Yes, those awesome photographs of the city of Chicago. And if you're on Facebook, there's a very good chance a friend has sent you a picture by photographer Barry Butler. Because every morning it's like, did you see Barry's picture yet? And if you haven't seen it, somebody's going to share it with you. Barry Butler is a Chicagoan. He is and has been called Chicago's picture poet. He's the author of a gorgeous coffee table book called Chicago, A City Above All. And he even, Steve, I got my very own Barry Butler jigsaw puzzle here. Isn't that cool? And this is a shot of Michigan Avenue. Perry, welcome to the studio.
You know, you're making me sound like Kiss or something, that I have all these things that I'm selling. Don't do that.
You got a merch man waiting outside, right?
Yes.
And you're only taking cash tonight, right?
But Johnny mentioned that we see your pictures all over the place. Do you have any idea how many times your pictures have been retweeted or repeated on Facebook or anything like that?
Probably a good amount, because sometimes those photos really take off, which is really amazing sometimes.
Yeah,
when I'm looking at the numbers, I'm like, whoa, how is that possible?
Yeah. Is there one that stands out that got the biggest reaction?
Oh, your snow pictures, your icy cold pictures.
Yeah, the polar vortex, people were really amazed. I think more of the fact that I was out there when it was minus 54 degrees.
And we want to know why your equipment doesn't freeze up, and your camera, too.
Yeah. Fortunately, I like winter, so I have the gear to do that. As a matter of fact, this is the time of year I don't like.
Yeah.
I don't like hot weather, and I don't like the long days.
And we got fog tonight, so
it
can work in your favor as a photographer, but then again, it's so iffy, right?
Oh, well, bad weather is good for photography. So,
really?
I don't want blue skies. Tomorrow, we're going to have clear skies here.
That's like a cliche. You don't want that.
Yeah, it's kind of depressing, the fact that there's going to be clear skies for me tomorrow. Yeah.
Well, when we were coming in on Lakeshore Drive, I told Johnny, I said, look, you can't see the skyline the way you usually do. I said, grab your camera, take a couple pictures.
Yeah, I took some cool pictures.
Today was one of those days.
Yeah, all the skyline looks like it's been cut off.
Yeah. The Hancock is like 20 stories tall, you know, which is really cool. Let's back up for people who don't know. Now, you can see, again, if you're on Facebook, your friends have sent you pictures by Barry Butler, and it better say Barry
And if they
Butler.
Haven't, unfriend them.
That's right. Get rid of them.
They're bad people.
And if they don't live in Chicago, show them what a beautiful city this is. You've been doing this for over 20 years now, right?
Yeah. I broke my collarbone playing hockey, taught myself photography, and the rest was history. And really, the Chicago stuff.
You
just
broke
kind of
your collarbone, so you had access to probably one, or did you have both arms that you could use?
Just one. And so I said, what am I going to do with myself? And I bought myself a tripod, put the camera on top of there, and read books. And that was back in film, so it was expensive to teach yourself.
Yeah.
Whereas now, it's nice to have that LED and see, you know, what your result was. But back
did you
then,
learn to develop, too, at that time?
No. You know, I was going to Photomat and dropping stuff off. And you know.
We had some good photo labs in town, though, back 20, 25 years ago.
Oh, sure, sure. Yeah, absolutely. But back then, when I was first starting, it was like, you know, you go to the local store, and then $15 later, you're like, oh my gosh, what did I do here? Yeah. What a mistake. That was, you know, it was a very expensive way to learn.
Did you know I used to work at a photo laboratory here in Chicago?
No.
Oh, yes. My first job when I was 15, I had to have a permit to work.
Wow.
It was an education.
And your mom would only let you develop certain pictures?
When my mother was the printer and I was the checker, so I would check the pictures for quality, but she was a fabulous printer. She was so particular. She wanted these pictures to look good, so she would set her machine for each roll of film, as opposed to just, you know, throwing a roll of film. And, you know, you'd get your pictures back and they're red. What's going on? She would never do that. She was so proud of her work. And so I would take the pictures as it would come through the solution and over a drum. And my job was to cut them and match them with the negatives. But there were some questionable pictures that would come over, and my mother would stand at the glass, break, time for break. And I knew that these were naughty pictures.
Because wasn't there a legal technicality that you could take nude pictures to be developed as long as there was no interaction
touching
between the people in the nude pictures?
So so mom had to determine if they were acceptable or not. But if there was someone wearing, for example, I'll never forget the roll of film that was people dressed in Saran wrap.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, but I need to see this.
Well, they were trying to lose weight. Wasn't that the way that we used to do it, right? Wow.
Yeah.
And you enjoyed that smell?
No.
No,
it was horrible. I didn't even think of that. Yeah. Yes. So that was my, at 15 years old, that was my introduction. But that's how complicated it used to be to get a roll of film developed. And invariably, the person would come to pick up their pictures and they'd stand at the counter and they'd take it. Well, this is no good. Do it again. You know, and they're paying $8 for a roll of film to be developed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let me take you back to the days of film for a second.
Sure.
Would you agree with me? Because when I used to have a Canon AE-1. And I used to love to take slide pictures because I always felt slides came out clearer and more beautiful than the same thing with a regular shot.
That's what I shot. I shot slide.
Really?
Yeah. And that trained me to where I'm at today because you had to get it right in the camera.
Mm-hmm.
And if you didn't have it right in the camera, it was done. You know, so I shot with an old Nikon camera, and then I got into medium format after that. And, you know, I got really, you know, into it. So, but it just kind of... I hate that you use the word, but it just developed. You know, there was not like some secret plan here that, and then I'll get on social media and get the stuff out there.
We didn't have social media.
Though. No, but that launched everything for me.
Yeah, it really changed your life.
And I didn't want to put my stuff out there. That was the funny thing about it. I was forced to put it out there.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't think my stuff was very good. I still don't think
why
my stuff was very good.
Why didn't you want to, and why were you forced?
Because people just said, why are you not sharing your work? And I'm like, I don't think it's very good, you know, because I when I take a shot, I constantly see the mistakes, you know, I'm always like, for example, the puzzle that you have there, that shot of Michigan Avenue with the tulips, I shoot every year because I have not been totally satisfied with the shot. And I mean, we're now going on year 14, 15 of taking that shot every year. So yeah, I get a little... crazed about my shots.
I think there's a word called anal. You're a little
I didn't want to use that, but I get a little particular about my work. And,
well, that's why they're so good, though.
Oh, well, thanks. Yeah. Thanks. I really take a lot of, put a lot of effort into what I do. Everything is planned, so it's not like I just show up and say, okay, let's see what happens here at North Avenue Beach. I know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So,
Don't you kind of consult the weather forecast and everything so you know where the sun's going to be when? And
Mike Jansen of GNTV, he asked for some lessons one day, and he just, as we were standing there, he goes, you know, it's kind of scary how you are really good at predicting the weather stuff and you have absolutely no training in this. It's really scary. I'm like, well, but I'm looking for certain things, though. You know, I'm looking for cloud cover and wind direction and where the sun, the moon is going to be.
Well, the moon, oh my gosh, Barry Butler's pictures of the moon are breathtaking. Oh, they truly are. And the way you position the moon on the top of a spire of the Sears Tower, and it will always be that. It's just, it's crazy. So we're going to talk a little bit more, too, about how you get shots like that, because we've wasted a lot of time on Facebook debating how it's a drone. He's not there.
Yeah.
So we'll come back and talk with Barry
Butler. It's all fake.
But real quick, before we break, people who are new to our conversations and want to find examples of your work, what website should they go to?
Sure. BarryButlerPhotography.com is where my website is. And then, as Johnny has said, Barry Butler Photography on Facebook. And I'm on Twitter, Instagram. I'm not on TikTok. I don't do any dancing and doing photography. So
That'll be next year,
That'll
right?
be next year, yes.
Well, the voice in my head is telling me we should stop talking. So we will and send it to news. So stay with us. Mama, don't take that Kodachrome away. Well, we're not using Kodachrome, but if you go to our Twitter page, just look up twitter.com/StephenJohnny, and you will see the picture we just put up of our guest Barry Butler in the studio. And what's the word I want to use?
His doppelganger.
What hubris do I have to take a picture of Barry Butler?
That's a good word, yes. And you did a little sneaky little thing there during the news, right? Barry Butler is, as somebody said to me, oh, you have the iconic Barry Butler on the show today.
Wow.
Really?
Wow, okay.
Yes, you got a lot of
fans.
That's
very nice of them to say that.
Well, Barry has made Chicago look so beautiful. And the last book he put out, and he was just telling us off the air that maybe there will be another one next year, but the last book was so gorgeous, Chicago, a City Above All.
Yeah.
And that went really well for you 2 years ago.
Oh, yes.
Ago.
Yeah. And it's...
but you had to sign
people
them.
Still buy them. Yeah. I've signed every one of them. I shipped every one of them.
Wow.
And that was a lot.
Yeah.
But no, it's... That was a lot of years in the making, because people kept on asking me, could you do a book? Could you do a book? And I'm like, oh, okay. And finally I did it. But I'll tell you one thing, trying to complete a book at the start of a pandemic was an experience.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Well, people want to know if you still have books available.
Oh, I do. Yeah.
And can they find that
on my website? Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Good.
Thanks
great.
For asking.
Well, we've heard from performers how the pandemic impacted their life. How did the pandemic, or did it, impact your life, your profession?
Well, let's see. From a standpoint of, you know, sales of my prints and the books and everything else that I do, it went very well because people were at home, you know, and they wanted to redo their homes. So I got a lot of print orders in that respect. And then from a photographic standpoint, be truthful, there weren't a lot of people out, so I got to places very quickly.
Yeah.
But it was odd, you know, and, you know, there was a flavor missing, you know, even though, you know, a lot of times when I'm shooting, there are people not out at, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning. There's just the events and all the fun things, especially in summer, because I shared with you, summer is not my favorite time, but we usually have a lot of things going on. So it could be the Mac race, it could be the Air and Water Show, and all that stuff was gone. So my body would say, okay, this week we should be doing this. I'm like, well, wait, we're not doing the air show, you know? So,
Wasn't it during the height of the pandemic that you did some pictures of a very desolate Michigan Avenue?
No, I'll tell you, people were asking me to do that, and I don't have the mindset to show negativity.
Okay.
And that was depressing for me. So I was trying to find what could be something different, where people were kind of like, okay, there's still goodness happening. I just try to look for the positive in my shots. I'm not looking for, you know, things like that. That's just not my style. I would probably take very poor photographs trying to do that.
Your heart wouldn't be in it.
No, not one bit.
Yeah.
Well, people want to know what kind of equipment you use today when you go out shooting.
Well, I've, you know, digital cameras, and so I have quite a few of them. I work with Nikon gear, but quite honestly, you know, any camera's fine. It's, you know, I don't care if it's Sony, Canon, or whatever else is out there. It's not the gear, you know, it's really your eye, the composition, because these days there's stuff I've taken with iPhone and I've published and have made money on. So it's not the gear. As a matter of fact, I think probably 98% of the stuff that's out there, if people used an iPhone or some type of smartphone, they would be fine. You know, the reason why I'm using cameras is I got to make big prints, you know, four times 40 by 60 or big panoramas that are 10 feet wide.
So it's becoming pixelated?
Yeah, you just don't have the detail that I'm looking for. So, and that's why I use those cameras. But there could be a day, and some people are predicting that, you know, eventually iPhones and whatever will be better than regular cameras. We'll see what happens.
Oh, heck, Barry, we'll be taking pictures with our eyeglasses. We'll just tap our lens.
That's very true.
And get a picture. Yeah. Whatever you're looking at will be there.
So, I mean, what it really comes down to, quite honestly, is two things, in my opinion. One, the authenticity that you show the love of your subject, and I love shooting Chicago. And the other thing is composition, because the cameras, they're probably exposed now, they're always in focus, so that's the easy part. Now, the tough part is, can you put a good composition together? And that's where I think the difference is between maybe an amateur and a professional photographer.
But you said something interesting a couple minutes ago. You said, now it's going to kind of come down to the person's individual eyes and how they're setting this up, as opposed to thinking, oh, the camera's going to fix this. No,
right.
You kind of have to frame it the way you want it.
Right, because a camera can't fix bad composition. You know, it is what it is. So, and for me, one of the challenges with my brain is I'm always framing. So no matter what I'm looking at, I'm like, okay, well, that would be there. Okay, I can take that shot. I mean, I'm looking out the window constantly. Have you noticed? I'm looking at Navy Pier. I'm looking at the lighthouse. Okay, what could I do here? Even though I don't even have a camera with me. I'm thinking that. I just can't help it. So,
well, given that, and your familiarity with Chicago, are there particular places in Chicago that you'd love to go because, oh, there's this angle, there's that angle, there's this?
Well, yeah. Well, at one point, Fullerton was the spot for me until they changed it. If you've been to Fullerton in recent years, they made it nice and clean and a lot of grass. And several years ago, it was all rocks and posts sticking out of lakes. And I would bring people there to teach them. And I would say, you understand there's about 1,000 different compositions mm-hmm. in this 100-foot area. And they're like, what? I'm like, let's walk through 20 yeah. of them right now. Mm-hmm. So that's what, you know, that's why I really love that spot, but that's no longer there. I will go often down to the south end of the lake, and there's a lot of character, and mm-hmm. you can do a lot of things out there. As a matter of fact, I did some scouting last Saturday, and that's what I do. I'll go out in the middle of the day, and I'm like, you know, I kind of get my camera out and just take some, you know, spec shots, and like, okay, that could work. I'll need to come back on this day and this type of weather, and then boom, it's in my calendar. So, but yeah, there's a spot that I found last Saturday that I'm really looking forward to shooting. I shot it with my iPhone, mm-hmm. and my son was like, "Well, why don't you just use that?" I'm like, "No, no, no, we'll wait for the right moment." So
that's Barry Butler, the perfectionist.
Yeah, that's where this is the problem.
Yeah, wow.
We're gonna take a break. More coming up. Stay with us. Steve King and Johnny Putman on WGN Radio, in for Dave Plyer. In the studio with us is photographer extraordinaire Barry Butler. Now, Barry is also a music aficionado. So the question would be, why did we play what we just played, Barry? And who was that?
Well, it sounds like Chicago.
A little bit
like
Chicago.
It has that kind of a feel.
Yeah, 1971, right?
See, I started thinking, it's not I'm Your Man or whatever that, but I was listening, I'm like, okay, that doesn't it sounded really kind of tinny for Chicago, so that's why.
I'll give you a clue. Okay. One of the many things that we wanted to talk to you about was the fact that you're trying to help save what in the Chicago
area? Oh, the lighthouse,
area.
And we're looking at it right now.
Right.
Yeah.
And that was lighthouse, and one fine morning.
Were we stretching there or what?
You're working on it.
That's right. There are not a whole lot of lighthouse songs.
Because you ran out of photograph songs.
we're just introducing the next segment as we segue into Lighthouse.
Because we are sitting here and we are looking right at the Chicago Lighthouse. And, wow, the picture that you put up 4th of July weekend of the fireworks from behind the lighthouse shooting toward our skyline was breathtaking.
That was fun.
And there were people on Facebook saying, where's this lighthouse? I didn't know we had a lighthouse.
You know what's really interesting? The number of times I hear people say that.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, wait, what?
Oh, there was a debate. Is it in Michigan? Yeah. No, those buildings are in Chicago.
Yeah, is that by Montrose? I'm like, right? What?
So we have a lighthouse that wasn't that put here during the Columbia Exposition?
Columbian Exposition.
1893.
Yeah, 1893.
Yeah.
And it belongs to the city of Chicago now.
City owns it, and this is where the challenge is, because the city, you know, and it's understood, they don't have the money to help get it back to where it should be, because it's starting to fall apart a little bit. And the feds are starting to say, I believe, that, hey, listen, we'll take that back. And if the federal government takes it back, they're going to auction it off. Mm-hmm. Oh. And that's not good for any of us, because that could turn into someone's Airbnb. You know, I mean, that's not really what it should be. So I was asked to join a group. It's a non-for-profit group. SaveTheLighthouse.org is the website. And it's... It's going to take some time, but we are going to, the plan is to restore the lighthouse the way it was, and then at some point for people to have access to it, so they can actually come and see it. Because I can't tell you the number of times people are like, oh gosh, I would love to see what that looks like. Well, if you look at it right now inside, it's fairly bare. Now, I will be out in it mid next week. And doing a little work to do a little, you know, to see what it looks like, because the architect of that needs some, you know, current photographs. He was in there in 2015 and just likes to see what the damage is since then, because of, you know, weather, and especially the extreme weather that we have right now, has probably done a number on it.
And, it seems so small from here.
It does.
I know that's a stupid thing to say. It's really far out there in the water.
Yeah.
But it's just, when I think of lighthouses, you always think of them towering over a shoreline or a little island, or... And that light going around. Do you know the last time that the light was shown from that lighthouse?
Oh, well, you'll see it in 2.5 hours. There's
really?
There's a light every night. Yeah, absolutely. It goes around I have it timed out, by the way. It takes 6 seconds to go around.
No.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. There's a light that you'll see, a red light going around every six
seconds. You knew
seconds.
That too.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and the architect is one of the nation's top preservationist. His name is Ed Torres, and he's involved, fortunately, in this project. And I'm going out there with him and some people from the city of Chicago. We're going to take a look at what's going on with the lighthouse and start hopefully making some plans and figure out what the cost will be to get that thing back to where it should be.
So savethelighthouse.org. Mm-hmm. You can get more information on it. There's a GoFundMe page you can click on.
And we're in the early stages. This is going to take some time, but it's eventually going to get, it's going to look nice. I mean, you see my photographs, it looks a little ratty outside.
Yeah.
But fortunately, it's made out of steel, so it's lasted pretty, pretty well.
Yeah.
Well, stay in touch with us, and we'll try to keep reminding people about this through various forms of social media. Before we have to wrap this up, let's see if we can bring in one quick phone call, because there's a really interesting question that Jim from Dixon. Jim, you had a question?
Hi. Good to have you guys on, and I do miss my Kodachrome a lot, too. But, obviously, this goes along with the lighthouse questions, because those lighthouse pictures are gorgeous, but obviously you must use a drone to catch a lot of that, I assume. How many drones have you lost in bad weather? Because you're shooting in bad weather all the time. I have a drone which I shoot, but I would never take it up in those kind of conditions because it's not going to come back.
I haven't had a problem with bad weather. So, I use helicopters and I'll use drones at times. But Lake Michigan has eaten two of my drones. One was because of a bird, and this was the early days of drones. Mm-hmm. Bird hit it, and then all of a sudden I saw it dropping out of the sky, and I still can't figure out how the other one just fell apart and, ended up at Montrose. So,
wow.
Yeah, so that's an expensive mistake, and I use them. They're great, but it's limited in Chicago. So that's the challenge with using a drone in this area.
Well, Jim, thanks so much for the call.
Yeah,
good question.
And sadly, our time is limited. The next time we're doing a show, you're coming back in here because people want
whether you want to or not.
Well, I enjoy talking to you guys. It's so easy.
I'm like a groupie. I'm like, whoa! And I had the nerve during the commercial break to show him some of my pictures.
Oh,
I'm
your
like,
photos were awesome.
My flower pictures.
I love them.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. And people can follow you at BarryButlerPhotography.com and find you on Facebook and then share his picture every morning the way we girls do amongst ourselves and just keep up with him. And if you're outside of Chicago, just take a look at how gorgeous the city looks through the eyes of Barry Butler.
It is gorgeous.
Yeah. A whole lot more coming up, so stay with us at WGN Radio.